This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another season of the Top Chef for Half Up. I'm Haley Strong, as they've often called me, Sloppy Haley, back for another season of Top Chef coverage here in Houston this season. I can't do this alone. Not that you'd listen if I did. Kurt Clark is back. Hey, Kurt. What have you been up to?
I have been eating way too much. So it's time to channel that into talking about food versus taking the food and stuffing it into my pie hole.
Yeah. Like, does it counteract the need to endlessly snack?
You know,
talking about food?
You know what? We'll see. This is unusual because we are recording in the evening. Usually record more towards lunchtime.
Yeah. Like we're all like hungry right now. Only one of us is hungry and the rest of us are either satisfied to too full.
Yeah. So I think it does help. At the same time, we usually close out talking about what did you make this week? And then that gets me hungry again. So
so we might have a snack on our hands. Another snack we have on our hands. LaTanya Starks, welcome back.
Hi.
Did you like that?
I have a whole ass meal, actually.
How many courses?
Seven, 15 courses of beef. That's me.
You know what? We looked up the Noma because, you know, the one chef on this season
worked
at Noma for years. And Ethan's like, what makes it the best restaurant? I'm like, I don't know. So he like looked it up and he's like, they only do a 20 course tasting menu with wine pairings. It's like, do you get 20 glasses of wine?
Just
like,
wine.
So
yeah, it's just wine at that point.
Oh,
I'm excited to be here talking about food and the birthplace of Beyonce. You know, people better bring it. They're in Houston.
She was born in Houston?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. We're back. It's exciting. Top Chef is back. Like we said, Top Chef is in Houston this season. Back to Texas for the second time, although they're like, we've never been to Houston before. Is that true? Did they not go to Houston on their Top Chef Texas marathon?
You are asking the wrong gentleman.
Yeah. I know. And it's funny.
You should trust them.
It's funny because I have been watching all of Top Chef seasons since like January 1st. Like we've been watching pretty much nothing else except Top Chef and Superstore. But I demanded we skip season 10 because I don't like that season.
Is that Texas?
Yeah.
Is it specifically Dallas or just Texas?
I don't know. No, I think it's like, it's called Texas, but I think they meander around the great state. Yeah,
but I don't know. I've never been to Houston, so I'll trust them.
I've been to the Houston airport.
Same. I've been through Houston. I've been to Houston.
Yeah, I've had a layover in Houston, and so I count it on my state tracker sheet. I know that's not what everybody would consider, but I do.
I've never had a good layover in Houston.
Oh,
I've never had a good layover. It's one. Yeah. I've never had a good layover in Houston. It's there. Anyway, not going there. Agreed. And since we last podcasted, I've gotten Hulu and I noticed it has all of the Top Chef seasons on there. I could go back and take a look and verify.
I think maybe you should. Also, this was a 54-minute episode without commercials. I was able to watch all the 54 minutes. Thanks to Hey You, not thanks to Food Network Canada. Food Network Canada only had it as an hour on the TV. But luckily, the streaming service Hey You, if you're in Canada and you want the full cut of episode, check that out.
That's not fun for Latanya and I, though, because we can't play. What did Haley miss in the Canadian cut?
I know.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll replace it with some other inane game.
Yeah, like what Adam Sandler food song can you sing that I have never heard in my entire life?
So many.
For context, before we recorded, Haley mentioned that her husband had made her sloppy joes for a meal. Was that today?
For dinner.
For dinner. And Latanya and I both immediately, our mind went to Lunch Lady Land.
Lunch Lady Land. That's where all the sloppy joes come from in my brain. It's a wonderful food and a wonderful song.
What part of the cow do sloppy joes come from?
I don't even want to know. Don't tell me. Nobody tell me.
Just the worst part.
Although there was a restaurant just up the street from me had a sloppy joes on their menu, and they actually put potato chips on the sloppy joe sandwich.
I like that.
And it was it seemed like very basic, and who's going to charge $13 for that? Well, they're going to charge $13 for that, and I'm actually going to pay it because it was fine. It was like, I'm not getting it again. Yeah. Like this was not worth $13 sloppy joe, but
that's fair. Did it come with a side, or was like the chips the side, but on the sandwich?
I think it might have come with a pickle.
The side was a pickle, and that's it?
Yeah, I think so.
No, that's an accoutrement. That's just like, that's a part, that's not the side. That's just, it exists. It's like the toy in a McDonald's meal. Like, it just has to come with it.
Otherwise it was pretty basic. Mm. I think I probably had to get, I think I might've gotten, they had a good kale salad that I think I got as a accompaniment.
I've never heard of that.
A good kale salad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get into this new season. Very exciting. I love this cast so far. I'm really excited about this cast. It's really like, it's a lot of cool people, a lot of big pedigrees here. I feel like we're just getting more and more hardcore as we go on. Like, remember the first season of Top Chef where it was like, I'm a culinary student. I'm a food blogger. I've cooked 3 meals before. And now it's like, I have worked in 7 Michelin star restaurants, and that's not good enough.
I've been a chef since I was 9 years old.
I've opened restaurants in every state. Like, it's wild. These people are wild, but I'm enjoying them so far. But we just get right into it. We unroll our knife backpacks and like just get into the quick fire.
Wait. Let's interrogate that sentence. Those are knife backpacks?
Knife backpacks.
Yeah. Did we not see, it was Sam's knife backpack.
I'm used to people carrying them. Maybe some of them have them on their back, but I've never heard it referred to that.
Sam had a knife backpack.
That is legacy.
Go back to the tape. He was like, had a backpack. He had a knife backpack.
All right.
He's taking pack your knives and go pretty literally. Backpack your knives and go. Yeah. So we get right into it with our quick fire. They pull some knives from the block that say 1, 2, or 3. They have to find other people who have the opposite numbers as them. And then they have to work or do a relay style thing to create a cohesive dish without communicating. Now, this is not the first time they have done this challenge. I like it very much. I like when the chefs have to just like take what's given to them and try and figure out what the last person was trying to do. These are really fun for me.
Those are fun.
I thought for a moment there that like this took me back to when they had the French black box challenge, mm-hmm. where they couldn't touch, they had to recreate the dish based on lack, but they couldn't see what was the dish was because they had to go into that big black chamber to sense it. Do you guys remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We're like Brooke teamed up with Dawn, even though Brooke wasn't on this season.
Yes,
exactly. And so for me, that's where my mind immediately went, even though it's not at all the same, but there's that lack of communication and trying to at least be on the same page about something.
Yeah. And Dawn was there, which was great. I didn't even recognize her at first.
Yeah.
I was just like, huh, who is this beautiful statuesque woman? And it's Dawn. Back to torture some chefs.
And she was the only alumni on this episode, correct? No, Kristen, no, was, there.
Kristen was there.
Kristen was there too.
And how can you miss Kristen?
And it's like John was passing the knife. In the sense that she was like putting the curse on somebody else to like not be able to plate a dish on time.
Yes.
I felt that. Like it's bad. Like she said, like, make sure you plate your dishes. I know. And then they're like, you know what? We're not going to actually. We're not going to plate our dish. We're not going to do that. No. So we see the brown team with Jackson, Robert, and Sarah with Cole roasted eggplant, macadamia romesco, and a serrano creme fraiche. And they were up in the top. That dish ran into a little bit of a number of issues they ran into. Mm-hmm. One of them being Robert dropping the succotash,
yeah,
dropping on the ground. What a Haley Strong move. I absolutely would have dropped that too. And then Robert made another questionable move in this challenge, which is like hide the meat. You never want to hide the meat.
Hiding isn't the word I'm sure he would use, though. Yeah. He was keeping the meat warm.
Right.
He was warming the meat.
By hiding it.
I don't understand why if you knew you were going to be next, you wouldn't be paying attention to what the person before you was doing so you could see where they hid the meat.
Yeah, unless the incoming team, I couldn't see where they were standing. Unless the incoming team couldn't actually see the team who was ahead of them. But it looked like from the camera work that there was free eye contact. You just couldn't talk.
Yeah. Because in the last iteration of this challenge, the chefs were blindfolded. They could not see what was happening. And in that case, somebody had like put something in the oven to keep warm. And then whoever was following them could not find it. Where this is like, they could see the person. They theoretically could have been like, okay, like I see what he's doing there. Like I'm ready to rumble. I'm ready to grab whatever that is, even if he didn't know it was pork.
Because I would have thought of exactly what you were thinking, that the Jackson should have been like laser focused on what Robert was doing. At the same time, if I was Robert, I would have like very pointedly made eye contact with Jackson as I kind of held the pork up a little bit and then put it under the cooking element, the heating, where he was like keeping it warm, which makes me wonder if I remember a lot of commentary about what the chefs who had already gone, them commenting on what the chefs behind them were doing. I don't remember a lot of commentary about the chefs who are ready to go, like looking like, what are they doing? Like there was not. So I'm wondering if they just didn't show up, but they're wondering if there was either a visible or a visual barrier there, or if they had to turn the other way, or and plus where they were standing, it seems like if you look at you've got where the judges sit at the front, and then kind of angling back on both sides are where the chefs gather, and then way in the back is where they cook. So maybe it's also just far enough away where you couldn't see. But my conspiracy theory is that they weren't able to see each other if you hadn't cooked yet.
Yeah. They must not have, but I feel like I don't care if you can't see them. You're like looking to where they are, and you see that guy finishing there at that whatever grill space oven.
And if you can see each other, then don't hide the pork.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. It's like, be like, just write in ketchup. Like, this is your pork.
Like peel off little letters from the labels on things, like a little ransom note that says, I am making this.
Yeah.
Because they had like,
exactly, I think
10 minutes each.
Yeah, they had 10 minutes. That's really not a lot of time.
I just made like a chicken pasta for lunch today and took me 50 minutes. So
whenever I get those meal kits and it's like, this will take 20 minutes. It takes me at least double the amount of time.
Yeah. I've often thought about actually taking a knife work course, like a class or like just a one-time thing or something. Cause that's where I like slow down and, although the 20 minute Mongolian beef I made earlier this week didn't take much longer than 20 minutes, but yeah.
The red team consisted of Stephanie, Jay, and Leah, and they made an Asian spiced pork chop with grilled corn salad and tomato puree with fish sauce. They were in the bottom because the pork chop was very overcooked.
You could look at that pork and tell that it was not good.
It was like like, I think if you like threw it at the ground, it would like have the reaction of like a bouncy ball.
Just like flubber.
Like the succotash, but it did not bounce.
Not cute. And she was like, well, I didn't know like cutting it this thin, it would like do that. I'm like, what? I know that. I'm an idiot.
Oh.
Yeah. The green team featured Nick, Evelyn, and Damar. They made a seared New York strip with cream corn and charred Brussels sprouts, and they were just kind of living their life in the middle.
That was where I think where Damar went first, and I liked he was trying to like I hope that like he had a plan and he was hoping to get the thing. I think he was hoping to get each element far enough where the plan was clear. Like he wanted them like the. He wanted them to make creamed corn and it ended up actually happening. Mm-hmm. So
I think he did a great job at like being like, this is what we're doing. Here you go. And they followed that.
Yeah. It's just apparently the vision was realized. It's just the vision wasn't tasty enough to get them out of the middle of the running.
Yeah. And it could have been the Brussels sprouts too, because it's kind of hard to make Brussels sprouts delicious.
Whoa. Okay.
No, I agree with that. Brussels sprouts are terrible.
Even if they're caramelized with bacon.
No, I can't.
That's better. They're like tiny burnt cabbages.
Yeah, they're just bitter for me. I'm not like a bitter flavor person. Like I can't eat asparagus either. Like
I love asparagus. Like asparagus has a much better flavor profile for me than Brussels sprouts, and I love cabbage. I just think that Brussels sprouts can be a little too bitter. If you're adding like bacon fat to it, it makes it better. But if you're just kind of boiling them or sauteing them in oil, it can throw off the rest of the dish.
It's possible to make them bad. It's very easy to make them bad. But it's like, it's one of the first things. If I see that they have Brussels sprouts as a appetizer or a side on a menu,
I'm
ordering it.
Yeah.
But if I was like the second or third person in line, I saw Brussels sprouts, like, I don't care what you had planned. I'm going to be caramelizing the hell out of these and, you know, putting whatever I can to make them sweet and bacony.
So. And I had high hopes for this team because one of the guys is from Mississippi and that's flavor country. Like my whole family is from Mississippi and those people can cook. Like they don't have a lot going on. So they're just like cooking all the time.
Well, Damar is based in Chicago, and I think he was about soul food.
Well, okay. And this is the one thing I wanted to say about Damar. Happy to try Damar's collard greens any day of the week. But one thing that I think that people should know is that there are more kinds of greens except other than collard greens. There are. And people are always only cooking collard greens. And it's like there are way tastier greens out there. There's mustards, there's turnips, there's slick leaf spinach. There's so many different kinds that are way more delicious and less bitter than collard greens. But when you go to a soul food restaurant, the only greens they have are collard greens. It bothers me.
I just checked out the menu for his restaurant in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It looks amazing. They've got biscuits with pimento cheese. They've got gizzards, gumbo, duck liver, catfish, pork chops, collards and smoked turkey, mac and cheese, buttered grits. Oh,
this I'm sure it's great. But I'm sure it's great.
But I completely take your point that the people focus in on and stop on collard greens.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's not like they're easier to cook than any other green. I don't get it. That's my soapbox about greens. Like, I just...
I appreciate it.
Well, it's like you said, there's other kinds of greens other than collard greens. And I was like racking my brain.
I know. I've heard of chard, I guess. I think Swiss chard's terrible too.
And like the first three you listed, I have all heard like turnip greens I've heard of. And
mustard greens are delicious. They are so good. Like my granny, when she was able to cook, because she can't now, when she was able to cook, her go-to greens would be mustard greens, and she would add spinach to it to make them more tender. And she would cook them with a variety of different kinds of meat. Like if I requested it, she would make it with like salt pork and just like, you know, cook the salt pork down and then like, you know, put it in the greens and cook it there. And it, or ham hocks or whatever. She could do just about anything. She could do it with just bacon if she didn't have other kinds of like meats. And they're delicious. They're so good. They're way less bitter. They're more flavorful. I don't get why we are, as a culinary group, all stuck on collard greens.
Maybe he was just trying to reference something that a majority of the people would recognize.
No.
Okay.
the yellow team featured Buddha, Monique, and Joe, and they won with their Thai barbecued beef with salsa verde salad, charred scallions, and fish sauce butter. This sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. I can totally see why it won. I would definitely probably pick that out of any of them.
Fish sauce butter. Let's go.
Yeah, like, so bury me in that. The blue team was Luke, Sam, and Ashley. Their dish did not make it to the plate.
It looked like it was leaning to, there was like the one part where they kind of say like this person set it up to be this and this person set it up to be this. And so it looked like they were leaning towards a chicken stir fry. I think Sam even said like, well, I can stir fry this. But yeah, I was hoping that at least they would taste it, even though like they would be out of the running. Just like, I would have liked to have heard. I think episodes where like shows where there's people like there's people who are in the top and the bottom, and the people in them who are constantly in the middle are get upset that they don't receive feedback, whether it be RuPaul's Drag Race or Project Runway. You know, there's these shows where it's like if you're constantly in the middle, you don't get any sort of information. And so I think it would have been interesting for them to still get to for the judges to still get to taste the dish, even though it would be out of the running for the win.
And I get where you're coming from, but I also feel like they didn't earn the feedback.
Oh.
Right? Like they didn't plate it. So they don't like it didn't make it to the plate. So you don't get feedback. Sorry. Like that's
you get nothing. Good. Yeah. Days. Like good you, day to you.
You effed up. So you don't get any feedback.
I've just started a new season this weekend of Great British Bake Off. And I can't remember.
How dare you?
It's 5 seasons ago. It might have been the first. I think it might have been the first Prue Sandy Null season. Mm-hmm. And there were several instances there where they have to make, you know, 15 millionaire shortbread. But what if people like doesn't get it cut? They still taste it. Like, you know,
I don't know. British Bake Off's just a whole different animal.
Okay. Fine.
It's softer, warmer, and there's less at stake.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Pun absolutely intended for the elimination challenge, which is chefs must work in the teams that they were in for the quickfire to create a cohesive menu featuring primal cuts of beef. I love this challenge. Mm-hmm. I love when they have to work within constraints, but then are very free to kind of do what they want. I wish I could have seen a little more structure in that it was like, not just a cohesive menu, but also like I felt like there wasn't enough importance put on the flow of the menu. Like what's it called when it's like a tasting
progressive
menu? Yeah, I wish there was more focus on it being a progressive menu.
I can see that, and it seems like at the very least, they did stick to the cohesiveness as a key element of the judgment.
Yeah. But it seemed like all three plates were just put in front of them. And I guess that's because they wanted to judge the cohesiveness together. But then it didn't really seem like it made sense of who was supposed to be first and who was second, who was third. They just kind of went in. And maybe the purpose was more cohesion than progression, which I guess is fine.
Although they did have the little menu cards that had them listed.
Yeah, right.
Order. So even though they were all served, maybe that was like the order that the chef testants had recommended that they would try. I'm jumping ahead to the red team, the fact that Buddha made a dessert. So I think they had the chance to they had the opportunity to guide the judges in this is the one that you're going to want to have last. So even though there were a couple times where the food came down, it seemed like the judges were all eating the food before the chefs even like made it into the room to describe what was there. Who knows about like what their approach or the structure was.
So the brown team, they chose the chuck cut. Again, this is Jackson, Robert, and Sarah. I was very worried about this team.
Mm-hmm.
What made you worry?
The fact that we saw like 25 minutes of Robert being like, this is not going to go great for me. Wow, I took on way too much. Wow, I'm not good at a pressure cooker. Oh, God, I have 5,500 gnocchi to make.
Okay. Individually, by hand, one at a time.
One at a time.
It seemed though like all the lead up was worrying, but the feedback at the table was stellar.
It was, and no surprise, this team wins. Jackson makes a beef tartare with tonnato, capers, and crispy potatoes. We saw a lot of tartars this evening, but they said that this one was probably the best one because it was like different. They love the potatoes, that the beef was served super cold. Robert's overall winning dish, which was the braised pot roast with potato gnocchi, olive tapenade, and Parmesan cream. And then Sarah made tallow seared beef with eggplant puree, agrodolce shallots, and caperberry relish.
These all sounded really
good. Yeah, they all sound great.
And I know in the past, loyal listeners know that Kurt is not a fan of fennel. Kurt is a big fan of blackberries. Underreported this season,
caperberry.
Beef tartare.
Really? It makes me nervous.
I'm trying to remember which there's a local restaurant where I think it might be the Tiki Bar across the street. They have kind of a...
The Tiki Bar has a beef tartare.
It was on their specials.
Oh my gosh. Tiki Bar Tar.
They did not call it that. For probably
missed very good opportunity, reasons. Really.
tell them to call me if they need any naming help in the future.
And like there was one restaurant at the Mandalay Bay in Vegas that had this amazing beef tartare with a quail egg cracked on top of it. And you would eat it with like these fried wonton crisps. It was amazing. So I love me a good beef tartare.
I don't know if I've had beef tartare before. I think it's possible that the egg makes me nervous. Like I have
really, it's the egg and not the raw beef.
It's a raw egg. It's raw beef.
It's all raw. You know,
and the beef doesn't take you out. If the beef doesn't take you out, the egg will, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I have an egg yolk thing too. I prefer and for some reason, like a beef tartare, I don't mind it. But yeah, so I would have tried any of the beef tartares in this episode. Mm-hmm. We'll get to Ashley. I'm sure the variation.
I just feel like my stomach would hurt after this many beef tartars.
Hats off to the judges for, like you said, 15 beef dishes. You don't often hear the judges talk about the sheer volume of food that they just consumed. But I remember, I think it was Padma called it. I was like, thank you all for managing to eat 15 dishes. Although
15 dishes of beef.
It's rare that we see it. It seems rare that they will actually finish the entire plate that they have to judge, except when they really, 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 really like something. Like they'll usually call that out on the show. Like one of the judges will be like, I devoured the entire thing.
Like we see like Amare.
Yeah, exactly.
Like holding his plate up or whatever.
Licking the dish.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was definitely the best team. They got great feedback. The green team, they had. Sorry.
But let's not talk about one more thing about this team. I wanted to go back and mention the quickfire, even though Robert hiding the meat on Jackson, they still got the top teams, even though it ended up being a vegetarian eggplant dish. I thought that was very telling about at least Jackson's capabilities, and the fact that Jackson lost his sense of smell and taste due to COVID. And so,
yeah.
And it seemed like he was saying at the towards the quickfires, like, I don't know if I'm going to reveal this yet, but at least during the elimination, he's doing a large amount of having other people taste it. So I don't know if he did reveal it or not, but the fact that's got to be really, really just horrible being a professional chef and then just losing your sense of taste due to COVID or in general, like not necessarily just to COVID, but so. Go Jackson.
The green team had sirloin, and Damar made a roasted rare sirloin with mushrooms, beef fat vinaigrette, and sunchoke chips. Evelyn made grilled tri-tip with charred eggplant salad and chili jam. And Nick made a sirloin stew with fennel, sweet potato dumplings, and charred vegetables. I feel like they made some questionable decisions. I'm looking at you, Damar, for making like a beef fat vinaigrette. I feel like as soon as it cools down even a little bit, those mushrooms are getting a little squidgy. And I do not want a squidgy mushroom.
No one wants a squidgy mushroom.
Is squidgy like the Bake Off stodgy?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's like just like it's like mushrooms already have that like spongy texture, and I feel like adding like beef fat to it's just making it like a slip and slide.
I hear beef fat vinaigrette, and the first word that comes to mind is congealing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's squidgy. Like
yeah, you don't want that in your dish.
No, I don't want that.
I don't want the fennel in my dish, but that's obvious.
The charred eggplant salad with chili jam sounds delicious, though. Evelyn's dish.
Do sign me up for that entire dish.
I wouldn't. I'm not a big eggplant fan. Like, I'll eat it. And actually, I as I say that, I think when I was in Vegas last summer, there was the food court in the Cosmopolitan, there was a place that had this spicy. I want to say it was a Korean place. It had the spicy eggplant side. That was amazing. I only got it because I asked, hey, what do you recommend? But otherwise I wouldn't normally just go for an eggplant salad, but the chili jam, I think that would be something kind of really interesting to add and level up the eggplant salad.
I love a sweet, spicy element. I've gotten very into hot honey over the last year.
I bought some hot honey last summer, and I keep forgetting that I have it. I need to put it on my countertop so it's an ever-present reminder.
I would put that on anything. Like, it's my I love it in grilled cheese, honestly. Ooh. Like, yeah, it's so good. Just put it on anything. Make like a hot honey vinaigrette too. That's not gonna get like congealed like the
beef fat vinaigrette. No hot honey beef fat vinaigrette for you.
And confession on this challenge, I don't know my meat cuts. So, I mean, obviously, if I was a chef, I likely would.
Yeah. But turns out it's just beef to me. So.
Exactly. Where's your beef section?
Yeah, seriously. Where's the dead cow?
Not looking for the chuck. I'm looking for the beef. Oh, yeah. That is beef, sir. So I would not. And, you know.
Is a sirloin a loin like knighted by the queen? I don't get it.
You cut it with a sword on each shoulder, beef shoulder. That's
I now present to you sirloin.
Oh my god,
that absolutely kills me. Oh my god,
it's like I have friends who grill. I'm not a griller. I have friends who grill. I got
That's the new spinoff of like Friends with Benefits or whatever any of those things are called.
I got a grill for Christmas, but I had to return it because my lease does not allow for gas grills.
But you can get like a smokeless grill.
I probably
like an indoor one.
Like a
smokeless grill.
Yeah, my brother had one. When he was an apartment liver.
Yeah, I want to inhale those fumes.
Yeah,
but the And so they know these cuts, but yeah, for me, it's like, I wouldn't have been able to like, oh, you're choosing that. Should the people who got the last choice, or not the last people who got stuck with the last one, feel screwed overall? I don't know, because I don't know these cuts, but
I know I go in the grocery store and I go, what fits within my meat budget this week? You're coming home with me.
I can't afford the knighted of the meat family.
I ain't that rich.
Yeah.
The blue team got the regular, plebeian loin instead of the sirloin. This was Ashley, Sam, and Luke. They did manage to get their dishes on the plate, which was nice. We had Ashley, who made a keetfo with raw beef and egg yolk sauce, red rice crumble.
I was excited about this one because I saw like this is the take on the beef tartare, but adding the red rice crumble to a beef tartare sounds amazing.
She just seemed to be doing the most interesting idea with the beef tartare. Yeah. She was taking it the farthest, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Because her style of cooking is what again? It's Appalachian?
Afrolachian, I believe she said.
Which is a thing, apparently. And great. I can't wait to see more from her.
Yes, I'm glad that she stuck around because I want to see more examples so I know how to contextualize her cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
Sam made roasted strip loin with cam pot peppercorn and bread salad. Luke made a seaweed cured steak with mushrooms and black garlic shiitake puree.
I think that black garlic one was the one that was blowing out everyone's taste buds, right?
Yeah.
It's a big flavor.
It is. I'm a huge fan of garlic, but I have found that black garlic does not scratch the same itch for me.
No.
It can be a bit intense. But I think overall, this was the team where I was like most interested in all of their dishes. Like if I had to say which of the five teams would I want to try, I think it would have been this team. Because it was like the interesting take on the tartare, that strip loin with peppercorn sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And even like the idea of like the seaweed cured steak with mushrooms sounds like very interesting.
I would probably go with the green team as like the menu I'm most likely to order again. Like I'm just avoiding the raw beef situation. I can't help it.
You get the, not with the green team. Sorry. I was looking at the team that was in green. Yeah.
Oh, see how that would be confusing. On our
spreadsheet, yeah.
The red team, they were in the bottom. They got the round. Leia made a top round steak summer roll with peaches and tahini lime sauce. Stephanie made a seared top round with sweet potato puree, oxtail demi-glace, and crispy shallot. And she intended to put some bok choy on it. And Jane,
she intended to put some bok. And she got called out for it, which made me realize like it had to have been called out on that menu card.
It was on the menu.
Yeah.
It was on the menu. Okay.
Yeah. And then Jay made North Korean bibimbap with eye round with rice, vegetables, beef broth, and soy marinated egg yolk. This was the team that we were presented with the most confusion, argument, disagreement with what the theme was going to be. And they went into an Asian theme and like a majority of the team was not comfortable with it. And then Jay like chose like a country's cuisine in which nobody is particularly familiar with.
Yeah.
I'm used, and maybe this is me being culturally blind. It's like, I love Korean food, but I'd never have distinguished between like, I would not be able to tell you the difference between like North Korean and South Korean. And it didn't sound like Jay could either. Like she's like, I'm not sure what this would be, but this is my interpretation of it.
She said she read about it.
Okay. I love me some bibimbap. I love bulgogi. And so I would have really been interested in to try this. I'm curious what makes this North Korean, just for my own curiosity. Like I don't know if it's the if it's the type of cuts or how she prepared it, but I'd be interested to learn more about this.
I would be too. I was a little lost, I'm not going to lie. I think this whole team was a little lost, and it really showed in their cooking. I would say out of these three dishes, the one I would most want to try is that steak summer roll with the peach and tahini lime sauce. But it was not a particularly successful dish for a number of reasons. Like, the beef was a little weird in it. It was too big. The rolls themselves were too big. Yeah, the sauce didn't do anything. And then we see Leia go out in this episode. She was also dealing with a bladder infection, which is not like a fun infection to be a part of. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't sound great.
No.
And this is the reality TV conspiracy theorist in me is like wondering, is I'm sure that team finished at the bottom. But I'm wondering if there was just she's not doing well. You know what? We'll find out in Last Chance Kitchen.
Yeah.
So,
because I really thought it was going to be Stephanie. I thought we were really getting a lot of like context from Stephanie in a way. And again, like Brooke has told us, like, no, Top Chef doesn't like present things in the way that like other reality TV shows do. But I felt like we were getting a lot of info from Stephanie to make us think that she was the one heading home. I also like thought she had the most issues with her dish, and like this team I think was rightfully in the bottom because their menu was not cohesive. Like, they tried their best, but it just really didn't end up that way.
Yeah, if you look at those summer rolls though, like the ingredients were really like not in proportion to one another. Mm-hmm. There was like a giant leafy green in there, and like the beef didn't look like it was equally represented to stand up to that flavor. You know, people were kind of picking at it when it came out. It was just kind of an awkward dish.
Yeah, on top of everything else. That's a great way to put it. It was just like an awkward, clunky dish.
I did just Google North Korean bibimbap, and it took me to I found a site. It was like top 10 North Korean foods, and bibimbap is listed there, but it's like exactly the same as what I'm thinking you would get in South Korea. Like, it's the bibimbap I know. So yeah. I'm still going to stay on the hunt for what is the specialty.
Yeah. I would have been interested in the oxtail demi-glace, because like any oxtail dish I'm excited for. So is everyone else apparently, because oxtails are ridiculously expensive now. It used to be that you could just buy that cut of meat and not very many people paid attention to it. And so you could have as many oxtails as you want. And now they are so expensive that it's like a luxury item to purchase them.
You know, in talking about like the things on this episode or any given episode where it's like, oh, I don't know, I hesitate to try that. The oxtail, just the name has always thrown me off. I'm picturing
gnawing on a tail,
a hairy tail. Kind that's of. Just okay. That well,
it's not a hairy tail. it's just in the shape kind of a tail. Like, we use it in soup mostly. It's really flavorful.
I need to try it. I don't know if I've had it or not. If I've had beef tongue, I can go to the other end of the animal and have the tail too, right?
I've never had beef tongue.
La lengua.
No la lengua for me. But yeah, oxtail is just a really unique flavor. There's not a ton of meat, obviously.
Right.
But it produces just like a really intense, bold flavor. It's really good with soup. In soup.
I usually hear it in association with the soup.
Yeah. Like a stew.
Yeah.
Our last team of the evening, the yellow team with Monique, Joe, and Buddha, they had immunity from that quick fire. So they went balls to the wall, and I appreciate what they did with their menu.
You mean spotted dick to the wall?
Yes, I mean dick to the wall. You are right.
Great.
Monique made a beef tartare with nori, tamari, onion jus, and a cured egg yolk. I don't need anything but the tamari, onion jus, and I could probably eat that like a soup and be a happy camper.
Exactly.
Joe also used black garlic. She rubbed her ribeye in it with kare kare sauce and a tomato cucumber relish. And Buddha made the only dessert of the day with a spotted dick suet pudding with beef fat caramel and miso ice cream, which I thought was just a really cool idea. Great move. some, like, that's what you do with immunity. You don't play it safe with immunity. You just go, and I'm going to make spotted dick and have a great time.
Like, if
can you spell that? That was my favorite part of the show. And his teammate was like, can you spell that?
Because she was like, you can't have said what I thought you said. No, it's spotted dick. If he was the only one on his team who'd had immunity, I would have maybe questioned it, because if it had gone disastrously wrong, that would have like put Monique in jail. But the fact that the entire team had immunity, I also was like, this is, I'm glad that he went for it. I hope that sets a precedent for future quick fire winners, as long as it doesn't put your teammates in danger.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Yep.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that we didn't have two top teams and two bottom teams?
I was a little surprised. Well, I think I was a little surprised the fact that they just called the red team. They just called the red team up as like, you are our least favorite team, and as opposed to like, your teams were our least favorite. So it was, that one did surprise me a little bit. But I didn't mind it. But it did surprise me a little.
I minded it, and I'm not watching this show anymore.
But you're showing up to the podcast every week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Then you'll just be like,
that's no issue. We can send a spreadsheet. Like, it's not a big deal.
When we had Chef Eddie on, he didn't watch the show and he still podcasted with us. It happens. It works.
Did it work?
It was fun.
It was a memory.
It was a memory. We have. Speaking of memories, remember last season?
Cats?
Well, no. Yeah. Oh, gosh. No. Remember last year how they couldn't go to Whole Foods? They had to order everything online?
Yes.
I was so excited to see them actually get to go shopping. There was a small thing, but last season made me realize how much I missed the fact that they got to actually go to the store and like, oh, you don't carry this, I got to get this instead. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So that was fun for me.
I'm sure that for them, you know, this season is going to be a lot more freeing than whatever last season was.
We didn't get a lot, you know, to me still, I loved last season, and right now, just one episode in, I'm saying, okay, I still like last season better than this one, but it's only one episode. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, last season was, I think, special because they, you know, it was the first like real kind of COVID season. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of references to the troubles that all of the chef testants had with their restaurants, and like some people had to close down, or I had to let their, like, you know, my, you know, just like Fast and the Furious, you know, this is my family. And they had to like let go I remember many of the chefs talking about like having to let people go is like having to let your family members go. So anyway, it seemed like there was much less of that in this episode than in the premiere of last season. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that it's maybe a sign that things are like slightly more getting back to normal. Obviously they were wearing masks in Whole Foods, and it looked like they had to, I seem to remember like when they'd done Whole Foods previously, that it was during, like there were other shoppers in there. But here, obviously, they cleared it out, and it's just for them. Yeah. So anyway, long story short is, glad to see the shopping trip back. Very glad.
And I love that the masks are the same brand as the aprons they're wearing.
Oh, nice.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, they got the... that's the first time I've really noticed that the... and maybe it's just the other ones are just so, like, stand like Top Chef and the name of a city. I like that these are stylized with the Houston... Is that the airport code? Yeah,
I'm not sure. I thought it was like George Washington Airport or something. So it was, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Do they do airport?
George Bush, not George Washington. It is HOU. No, it's IAH. It's IAH. Sorry.
Somebody, please don't get mad at me for that. There's so many Georges, and also I'm Canadian. Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed.
Let's lead into the first one rather than the second one.
That's, yeah. Such an excuse.
But there, yeah, it doesn't say IAH on their thing, so I can't remember what it does say. But anyway, I like the stylized logo for their,
yeah, like I also love like like the color scheme they're going with this season, like the bright pinks and blues and yellows and just like that really like, I don't know. I just, it's a palette that works for my little eyes.
And I have a coworker who lived in Houston for 13 years. I'm trying to get him to watch the show. And he had informed me that like Houston is one of the biggest Vietnamese centers outside of Vietnam in the world. He may have made that up, but I'm reporting.
I don't think so, because New Orleans has like a really big Vietnamese population too, and I think it's like a Gulf of Mexico thing where a lot of the Vietnamese people came over and started working in the shrimping industry.
Okay,
I believe is the scoop. Please don't quote me on that much, but from what I've learned in other Top Chef seasons, that's the case.
Okay, we believe you. George Washington.
But yeah, I also just called it George Washington Airport. So
the George Washington Airport.
Back when the founding fathers had heavy thoughts about Texas.
What? There's no George Washington Airport? Come on. There has to be, right?
Not in a state that was not around when George Washington was alive, no.
Okay.
I can't be mad at you. You're Canadian.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's the thing is
like, I think like 90% of Canadians know geography better than 90% of the U.S. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I got out of that class, I forgot everything.
I type in George Washington Airport and you know what comes up? The Houston Airport. So am I that wrong? Am I that off base? I think it's just for other idiots like me.
Yeah, it's just like a George. A George.
Oh, God.
Anyway. I'm typing this. You're right. It comes up. It also comes up for me as well as George Bush Intercontinental Airport.
I don't know why.
George Washington. When I typed in George Washington to search. Anyway.
So, how are we feeling about this season of Top Chef after one episode?
I'm feeling good.
Great.
Feeling great.
Yeah.
Do we have any favorites yet?
Well, I was going to ask if you guys want to do a little draft. We've got 15 people. I'll even take Leah.
Okay.
If I get to pick first.
Okay, that works for me.
I mean, this is some type of stratagem, and I don't like it. What order do you want to go in? So
it'll be, I'd say I'll go first. So we'll do a snake draft.
Kurt is first because he's a man. And we must always walk behind the men.
Fine. I'll go third and fourth.
No, it's fine. I don't care.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't care. You go first, and then Haley, and then me. And then we reverse.
Then we reverse. It'll be like you and Haley, then me.
Got it.
I like being in the middle. It's the coziest spot.
I am going to choose Sam.
Oh my God. Why? That's mine. He's mine.
I don't think I got to pick Shota last season, and I'm getting strong Shota vibes from him, in just terms of not because of the nationality or from a cultural reason, but the cheerful, upbeat nature. I want to see, I think if I pick him, he'll stick around longer.
Okay.
So I will pick Sam.
Okay. Then I will go with Evelyn.
Evelyn.
Are you writing? You're writing this down, right?
I'm putting it down in Get Our Chef Customs tab.
Okay.
In the spreadsheet.
I will go with Damar.
I will go.
With Tanya gets to go again.
Oh, sorry. I forgot. Sorry.
And then I will go with Robert.
I will go with Sarah.
This is what happens when I try to type with one hand and hold a microphone with the other.
I got one of these arms that now I can like stretch out.
Yeah, at some point we have to have a meeting about how to install those things. Am I going to need tools?
No. Okay. I'm an idiot and I got it to work.
All right, I need your help.
I don't want It's Sarah. But I'm going to pick Leah here just to get that pick out of the way. And then my second pick before it goes back down the line again is I am going to pick, I really wanted Sarah. Because we haven't seen a lot from her, I'm going to pick Monique.
Okay, I will take Buddha.
Okay. You get two in a row, Latanya.
Okay. Did someone already pick Sarah?
Yes.
Damn it. Ashley.
And mother.
And... Did someone already pick Monique?
Yep, I did.
Okay, Joe.
Yep. I will take Robert.
Robert was taken.
I will take Jay.
Okay. Two in a row for me. I will, and this will be my last picks. I will pick Jackson.
Damn it.
And I will pick, oh gosh, Stephanie and her bok choy versus people I don't know what my impression of. I'll pick Nick.
Okay, who's left to pick?
You have Luke and Stephanie.
I'll take Luke.
All right, I've got Stephanie.
You Stephanie. Wonderful.
And it's just, this is just like a Survivor draft, right?
Yeah, whoever makes it, whoever's the winner wins.
I like that.
I'm excited for my team.
Me too.
Haley, you picked Luke, right?
Yeah.
Tanya got Stephanie.
Or did Luke pick me, you know?
If he did, he didn't get you on the plate in time. I don't know if there's a euphemism in there that I'm not picking up on.
Wow.
Yikes.
I'm married, Kurt. No, just kidding. Yeah. I would flirt with that guy for sure. Nobody told me that. Just kidding. I'm not kidding.
She's not kidding.
Do you want to talk about what we've
what
eaten this week?
We made this week and what we've eaten and everything in between.
So we're not going to talk about who we would flirt with for the rest of the podcast?
All right, them. I flirt with every single one of them.
Okay.
They're all smoke shows. Every single person on this cast. It's like Top Chef Smoke Show, and that's all it is.
Top Chef Smoke Show. 2022.
Yeah. All of them are woods for me. Sorry. I'm not sorry about it.
Woods versus wood nuts?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that, could you spell wood for me?
Can you spell that? All right.
Okay.
We are early in the season.
Yeah. Everything's going to get worse. Haley, what did you eat this week?
I would say my favorite thing I made this week was chicken parm in my air fryer. Received the air fryer as an anniversary present. And I haven't experimented with it a whole lot. But I made chicken parm in it this week and it was fantastic. Would recommend. So send me your air fryer recipes. Like, what should I make in that thing?
Parm chicken parm parm.
Other than that, like, I haven't been making a whole lot this week.
I saw a bunch of food pictures and some ice wine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I
ice wine.
So I in Niagara, they had the ice wine festival. Usually it's in January. It was postponed until March. So a bunch of the different wineries had wine and food pairings. So that was really fun. One of my favorite ones was like a short rib poutine paired with a Vidal ice wine. If you don't know what ice wine is, it is just like it's a very sweet dessert wine. It's like definitely more syrupy in texture. Why are you laughing at me, Kurt?
Because I just thought it was wine that was very, very cold.
I just thought it was wine that you put ice in.
No, it's like a special,
and voila, ice wine.
No, it's like a special type of wine. It's
I've heard of it, but I've never known what. Like, it's amazing that my knowledge of beef cuts and my knowledge of wine, they're like right at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ice is great. If you can find, I'm sure if you go to your local liquor store, you can find something. It might be, it's a pretty uniquely Canadian thing, although like they do a lot of ice wine in Germany too.
That's like Canada's basement.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd be able to find some Canadian wines in Michigan. So what they do is they leave some of the grapes on till usually January when it gets cold enough. They have to have evenings that, at least three evenings in a row that are -8 degrees Celsius so that the grapes are like frozen enough. And so the juice is really concentrated. So it's really sweet. It's more expensive than your regular wines because it takes so many more grapes to like produce it. It's delicious. Definitely try it. If you're like a sweet person, if you like a lot of sweets, like definitely try an ice wine.
I prefer Moscatos and Rieslings. I mean, I would love ice wine then.
You'd love it.
And if you remember my predilection last year for munching on frozen grapes, this will be right up my alley.
I think you should next time you go to the store, try and find an ice wine. I'm sure you'd find a Niagara one there. So.
Awesome. How about you, LaTanya?
Pretty boring. So really eat me foods. I found a delicious strawberry preserve from France in the fancy store downstairs in my apartment complex. And I also combine that with some peanut butter, which is good. I can't remember who it's by. Hold on.
It's a 2020 vintage peanut butter from Southern United States.
Justin's peanut butter.
Oh, nice.
Which I had never had before because I like crunchy peanut butter. And
thank you. I feel like there's an absence of love for crunchy peanut butter in the communities that I frequent.
This is a pro crunchy peanut butter podcast.
Okay, great. Good.
Because most of the time I feel like a fatwa has been declared against crunchy peanut butter and I can never find any.
Yeah, can you please spell that?
So, I made like a very basic Sammy, you know, put some banana on there. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was delicious because I make myself very basic things that it doesn't take very long to make. And then mostly I order food. I'm about to get some good food tonight. I'm getting some ramen san and I've been branching out on their menu a little bit. So we were talking about Brussels sprouts on the podcast. So I ordered some Brussels sprouts from them and they do something with their Brussels sprouts that's very exciting. What do?
do they arrange them into little happy faces before they deliver them to you?
they do something to it. It's delicious. I just realized that like I'm on a podcast. Oh, here we go.
I'm looking at the menu now and
we got it. So they are crispy Brussels sprouts topped with tofu sauce and crispy shallots.
Ooh.
Which I'm excited for.
I'm more oohing about the crispy shallots. Like I could give or take the tofu sauce. I mean, I try it, but the most interesting preparation I've seen is local place. They combine goat cheese with their crispy Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I love goat cheese. Same. I would be very excited to eat there. And then the other thing that I am getting, I'm getting a raw tuna dish,
ooh,
which I'm always excited for. A little bit of tartar in my life. And then they have these Japanese eggplant fries.
Interesting.
And the best part about the eggplant fries are the sides of the yuzu mayo. And then they have this like tangy Vietnamese dressing that comes with it as well.
I was going to ask like what the, if you serve something like eggplant fries, you have to have some interesting dipping sauces to go with it. Mm-hmm, so that's,
you have to.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm like treating myself because I had a subpar weekend. And so I'm going to eat ramen san and watch something on television. I guess not Euphoria because that's gone.
You know, if you have a subpar weekend, the perfect thing for that is a Parma sub.
Okay, well, I'm gonna end this podcast right now.
But my food.
You didn't earn it. Just kidding. What did you eat this week, Kurt?
So I had a meal kit from Marley Spoon, which is a Martha Stewart joint.
In conjunction with Snoop Dogg, or
no? Like she put these recipes together when she was in the joint. Through Marley Spoon, you can get not just dinners, but you can get brunches and desserts as well. And I got this poached pear oatmeal bake that I made. Oh. And I didn't. And so it was my first time making poached pears. Pain in the butt to core those suckers, but I love pears. And I actually used some of the leftover poached pear juice in some rum drinks over the weekend, trying to kind of help create some homemade tiki stuff. But then the oatmeal was made with not just oatmeal, but it was mixed with a couple of eggs as well. So it was like a cross almost between like a bread pudding and an oatmeal. And you put it into the baking dish and you put the poached pears on top and you baked it for about 45 to 50 minutes and pretty good. It took a long time to make.
Yeah.
But it was pretty tasty.
That was like quite an operation.
And then I've made, like I mentioned, the Mongolian beef earlier. I had this limon spaghetti that was pretty citrusy. Not a big citrus fan, but I still liked it. And yeah, that was my baking stuff. I didn't get a lot of takeout this week, which is unusual for me. But I don't have a meal kit coming this week or next week, so I'll have more takeout adventures during our next podcast.
Yes. Please join me in takeout adventures.
I did subscribe to the DoorDash Dash Pass a few weeks ago, I'm exploring the West Michigan horizons of food beyond those which I can walk to for pickup.
Okay.
So I'm ordering more things in, but
great.
My big thing, I've been eating a lot of elote lately for Mexican sweet corn. So like, it seems like I've been experimenting with different local Mexican restaurants. And anytime I see elote on the menu, I will get it.
Yeah. I had a delicious guacamole that had elote on top of it.
Guacalote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Haley's gonna kill you.
I am not allowed to pun.
I'm just gonna end the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Well, yeah. I guess I am.
Yeah, I guess that was it. That's, I mean, other than
that's our show, folks.
Yeah, we did it. We are back. It feels nice. It feels really nice.
It feels right.
Reunited, and it feels so fine.
I honestly thought for a second. I was like, I forgot to hit record. But I didn't. I didn't forget. That's why people don't leave me in charge of things. I just show up and like ruin things. Anyway.
Well, what do you got going on, Kaylee?
What do I have going on? I am 2 weeks from the end of a 10-month stretch of podcasting about The Bachelor.
She is balls deep in Bachelor.
I am so close to the end. I love Amy, my co-host, so much, but it was so much Bachelor.
How much of a break are you getting?
Until probably about May.
Oh, nice.
Hmm.
Like basically the length of this podcast is my break from that podcast. Which is nice if you like the sound of my voice, which I appreciate. If you want to listen to other things I've done in the last however long, I did a little season coverage of Vanderpump Rules, just like a one season, like one episode of that. So check that out. I'm sure you can find it. Oh God, I haven't really been up to anything else. I've just been like so laser focused on The Bachelor and being like, let's get through this. LaTanya, what about you? You have so much going on and I'm so excited.
Yeah, I've been, you know, just out here doing podcasts about things, doing podcasts about Pam and Tommy, which is a Hulu show about the goings on that occurred in the 90s when a certain sex tape got out. So we're talking about that. Me and Ariel and Brooklyn Zed just finished up our second of two Oscars podcasts over on Post Show Recaps with Grace and Ariel, where we talked about all of the best actor, supporting actor, actress, supporting actress categories, and who should win those awards. Then I have a secret project that I can't talk about that's going to be coming out. It's an RHAP thing. And then I have another secret project that I just recorded today that I can't really talk about yet, but I can probably on the next of these podcasts. That's a post-show recaps thing. And then if you follow me on Twitter at LK Starks, you can learn about the third secret project that I can't talk about yet, but is upcoming on post-show recaps.
Kurt, how many secrets do you have?
I have 17 secret projects I can't talk about. We'll see how many of them come to fruition. If you want to follow me on the socials, Kurt Clark with two C's. I'll spell that for you.
One C, and then later on there's another C. Yeah. And they're not beside each other.
Not beside each other. If you want to follow my food journey, if you like food or escape rooms or books, those are like probably the three main and snarky memes. Those are the four main things that I post there on Instagram. On Tuesday nights, I stream D&D live on Twitch with several folks from the Post Show Recaps family, including Rich Filiberto and DJ LaBelle Klein, Grace Leader, who was mentioned earlier, Taylor, Melissa, Josh Wiggler makes an occasional presence as well, Kevin Mahadejo. So great fun there. So that's usually at 8 p.m. Eastern on Twitch. It's at DM Philly on Twitch. Doing D&D in space, and I play a turtle who is a beekeeper. his name is Jake, for those of you who followed Utopia. I am indeed playing Jake, a beekeeper. So that's a lot of fun.
Utopia, is that a movie with animals?
No, that was Zootopia. Utopia. I just broke Halo.
Who let me do any of this?
No, Utopia was a reality TV show.
I remember. Yeah.
It was supposed to be like 9 months long, and it lasted a month and a half. And Rob and I covered, I think, all six episodes. And there's a very memorable beekeeper scene in that in that series. That's what I've got going on. So.
God, like, why am I here? Like, I'm so sorry.
Everyone loves you. Yeah. You're great.
Like, I mixed up George Washington and George Bush, and then I mixed up Utopia and then Zootopia. Who does that? Like, oh my
Canadian.
God. Yeah. Haley does. I don't have an excuse for that second part. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @hstrong_ if you want. Whoops.
Well, that happens.
That was another mouse. If you want to check out what I'm reading, my Bookstagram is at The Strong Library. I haven't read a book since December, except I've reread the Bridgerton, the second and third second and fourth Bridgerton books again. Probably read the second one, I'd say, at least 15 times, and I'm not joking.
Why?
How active is your Bookstagram if the last book you read was last summer?
No. In December.
Oh, I thought you said summer.
No, okay. Not that bad. Okay. I have not been on a good reading stream. My brain is just like, I just haven't been able to get this thing to work, you know, as has been proven in this podcast.
We're warming up. You had to switch gears to your Top Chef brain. And yeah.
You did.
We're here with you no matter what.
Except for me in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're leaving us, but don't worry, we'll get more friends.
Yeah, you'll get
we'll turn this into the girl pod.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. That's it. That's it for all of us. We'll see you next week, and we love you. Bye.
Bye.